I'm Stephanie Hoff with the Midwest Farm Report. Dean Mosher joins us. He's an accredited farrier with the International Association of Professional Farriers, and he operates the Balanced Hoof and Horse out of Ohio, but he works with horse owners across the nation. Dean says a good relationship with a good farrier can make the world of difference for your horse.
Farriers, actually, at one point, was a $60,000 question on who wants to be a millionaire, believe it or not. And, of course, there was the correct answer. Polishes rocks was the outlandish answer. Makes furs and crosses boats were the other two options. So the point of being a farrier is that farrier and blacksmith terms are confused a lot of the times. Farriers shoe horses. Blacksmiths work with metal. While farriers do work with metal, we work with horses. Blacksmiths may or may not work with horses.
I was amazed at the credentials that you have to be a farrier, the amount of schooling that you've gone through, that there's all these associations. So it is a pretty rigorous career.
Very much so. I actually was shoeing 9 years part-time in New York State, where I'm originally from, and then decided that I needed more on my resume, then chose to go to horseshoeing school. The particular school that I chose was a 12-week program, but the main nuts and bolts of my whole career, the meat and potatoes of it is the continuing education. And that part never stops. And I've done that for so many years and learned so much from so many.
The big question is, does every horse need a shoe?
Yeah, I said it was one of the questions that we just had in our presentation was, does every horse need a shoe? And there's an entire flow chart to go through to determine whether or not a horse may or may not need a shoe.
And what are the instances in which it doesn't and doesn't? What are some of the things that you look for?
Well, we have many considerations. We're looking at, does the horse need protection? Does the horse need traction? Does the horse need it for therapeutic reasons, conformation reasons, or even to enhance its gait?
What should you be looking for as a horse owner where you may say, hey, I think all or some of these feet need a shoe?
Well, that may be a discussion directly with the farrier. It can also even be a discussion with a veterinarian, even as early as a potential pre-purchase exam, that the veterinarian may say, you know, this is a horse that may then potentially need shoes throughout its life. But it's an owner discussion.
I didn't hear you use breed or age as a reason for shoe. Does that matter?
Oh, it's very important. I mean, the breed can determine what the horse's job is, and then also age. Age meaning, as a young horse, the young horse may be barefoot. It may need shoes when it goes into training. As an older horse, it may need shoes for therapeutic reasons. And yet, unfortunately, at the end of life, the horse may be beyond the soundness capabilities of being able to safely apply shoes to it. So it may be barefoot again.
Another question you got was, will the horse be sore after being shod? Is that the correct terminology, shod?
Yes, and actually just even after a farrier visit. So this may mean that not necessarily a trim and a shoe, but it would be most common if the horse was just trimmed, that the horse could become sore. So sometimes that is just, did the farrier do a poor job or were there other factors involved? Personally, I was telling the story about how I'd had a horse that I had trimmed on the roster for many years, never had an issue with it, and yet as she aged, and as horses age, their feet become larger, flatter, and their soles are thinner. So as I was trimming her in the same method, she actually became sole sore because she was just too tender on those soles, and I had to adjust the trim. But that was communication with the owner.
And for the most part, you said the horse should be ready to ride and not sore after a farrier visit.
Absolutely. It should not interfere with any soundness or any loss of use of the horse at all. You should be literally able to just throw a saddle right on. I have many clients that are still actually superstitious that they don't want their horses shod too close to a show, and I respect that, but it's really not an issue.
You know, and this kind of leads me to the other question that you answered was about how long or short should a hoof be? Is there a specific measurement for that?
Well, what I had done in the presentation was I had created two lines on my PowerPoint presentation, one that represented the length of the foot, a parallel line to that, and then that parallel line was brought up to show that the length of the pastern from just above the coronary band to the bottom of the fetlock is proportional to the length of the foot. This is only true in adult horses. This is not true in young horses.
As a farrier, you're not just looking at the hoof. You're looking at the whole foot. Can you tell me about kind of your whole horse approach to the work that you do?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm looking entirely at the entire the horse in general. So I may see some hoof conformation issues that are going to clue me into body-related issues. And then if I can solve, put the orthotic on that's going to cure the body-related issue, in turn, it's actually going to help me with the foot-related issue because the horse is going to land and load more evenly.
That's what you're looking at, and you have advice for what owners should be looking at on a daily basis in between farrier visits. Dry hooves. Tell me about the moisture of a hoof and the importance of the environment that it's in.
Both in the weather that we have in Wisconsin and where I currently live in Ohio, we have so much more squish winters, and that we deal with mud throughout so much of a larger part of the season that we tend to deal much more with hooves that are too wet versus hooves that are too dry. Marketing wants us to think that the foot is too dry, but in most cases that's really not the case at all. I have rarely seen feet that I would ever truly tell you were too dry. They're just not.
And there are strategies to keep your hooves dry.
One of the ones we talked about, too, was a kiln-dried shaving stall to try to keep a hoof in a more normal moisture balance, but not too dry. Because once again, that horse is turned out, we don't want that environment to be too different. So we don't want to go from a kiln-dried shaving stall to turning out in mud. We want to try to keep the environment more similar.
When you are making visits, I was shocked to see some of the situations that you find yourself in when there is a problem with the horse. You know, you touched on abscesses and thrush and hoof cracks. Walk me through some of those issues, and are there quick fixes? Are any of these detrimental?
Thrush is an anaerobic bacteria. The number one way to treat thrush is with a hoof pick. Just show it some air, get it scraped out of there. Also, to just generally the environment that the horse is in too. We don't want the horse in too wet of an environment.
And it's spring in Wisconsin, so we know the weather is wet. And you said that could also lead to some abscess issues as well.
Well, the abscess issues that I find most prevalent are through the winter time, when again we have what I refer to as that squish winter. Everything's wet, it's muddy, and then we get that cold ambient overnight temperature enough to freeze things hard. So by the morning, things are so rock hard, it's very difficult for a waterlogged, soft-soled horse to walk across a hard ground, which can also even lead to colic issues if the horse can't comfortably walk to water.
Dean, how often should a farrier be coming out to the stable?
That can vary greatly. I have horses on the roster that are seen every 4 weeks, and I have others that are trims that wear down well in the pasture that I may see every 10 to 12 weeks. So my goal is always to set up a hoof care solution situation that's going to be the best for your horse.
What's the price tag folks are looking at for a farrier? And how does that maybe compare to, you know, some of the other people in the industry, like a vet visit?
I charge, as a vet would, I do charge a barn call. So my service fees are separate from what my barn call would be. That's just something that I built in and have charged for that for years. So proportionally, my prices may look lower than what I showed on the screen. But by the time you add that barn call, they're actually higher than what's on the screen. Which the bottom line is that you're generally going to get what you pay for. One of the things I did emphasize to clients too is that whenever you see that your horse may be lame or sore, is to call your farrier first. We're not afraid to engage the vet, but we're always a very good first line of defense. And because we also see the animal more too. There's many more things that I do with horses too, as far as also being that go-between. Between that relationship that you have with your veterinarian that may only see the horse a couple times a year, where I see the horse 4 to 5 times a year, I'm going to notice, did the horse gain weight, lose weight? What's its condition? Has anything changed? Even have the hoof capsules changed, meaning that has the soundness changed and the horse is now landing and loading differently to try to evade a soreness or a lameness?
Dean Mosher along with us, reminding us of the benefits of having a good farrier involved with your equine operation. Dean operates the Balanced Hoof and Horse out of Ohio, but he works with horse owners across the nation. He's an accredited farrier with the International Association of Professional Farriers. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.